Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Bhakti Vedanta ki, Granta Raj, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Giriraj Maharaj ki, Dago Premanandi. Okay, so tonight we'll finish chapter 24, final chapter in this section of the Bhagavatam, the ninth canto. And next Monday night we'll have the course book. Is that a mention? Jai Hel. Okay, so up to text number 58. The Supreme Personality of Godhead acts through his material energy in the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of this cosmic manifestation just to deliver the living entity by his compassion and stop the living entity's birth, death, and duration of materialistic life. Thus he enables the living being to return home back to Godhead.
Materialistic men sometimes ask why God has created the material world for the suffering of the living entities. The material creation is certainly meant for the suffering of the conditioned soul who are part of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as confirmed by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita 15.7. Mama Ivamsa Jiva Lokya Jiva Gurusanadaha Manasrashta Indriya Prakartistani Krishadhi. The living entities in the conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. All the living entities are part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and are as good as the Lord qualitatively, but quantitatively there is a great difference between them. For the Lord is unlimited, whereas living entities are limited. Thus, the Lord possesses unlimited potency for pleasure and the living entities have a limited pleasure potency. Anandomaya Vyasat, Vedanta Sutra 1.1.12. Both the Lord and living entity, being qualitatively spirit soul, have the tendency for peace enjoyment, but when the part of the Supreme Personality of Godhead unfortunately wants to enjoy independently without Krishna, he is put into the material world, where he begins his life as Brahma and is gradually degraded to the status of an ant or a worm in the stool. This is called Manasrastha Indriyani Prakartisthani Karsatihi. There is a great struggle for existence because the living entity conditioned by material nature is under nature's full control. Prakarte Kriyamanani Gunekarmani Sarvasaha. Because of his limited knowledge, however, the living entity thinks he is enjoying in the material world. Manasrastha Indriyani Prakartisthani Karsatihi. He is actually under the full control of material nature, but still he thinks himself independent. Ahankara Vimudhatma Kattaham Iti Manyate. Even when he is elevated by speculative knowledge and tries to merge into the existence of Brahman, the same disease continues. Even having attained the Parabrahman, having merged into the impersonal Brahman, he falls again to the material world. In this way, the
Yeah, that's good. Okay. So, what are the points in the first paragraph?
The main thing is that we want to act independently of Krishna. Instead of serving him, being a part and parcel of Krishna, we are trying to independently enjoy. And that's why we suffer in the for a condition.
Good. Any other points?
Envy is the root cause. We see Krishna as why he is enjoying and why not we enjoy ourselves. So rather than serving him as an eternal servant, that is the reason basically of
being conditioned. Mainly because of ignorance. Our knowledge is so limited. And because of that ignorance, we want to endure.
Good. Anything else?
We want to lord over the material, which is under his control. So we have to surrender unto him and serve Him very sincerely and transcendently to get over the mind and reach Him. By developing a relationship with Him, this is most important. Only when we know that we are eternal servant, we will develop a relationship with Him, and then only we can cross over this material nature.
Good point. So the living entity is known as Anandamaya Vyasa, which means he is seeking after Ananda, or bliss. So Krishna is the original cause of all causes, Sarvakarana Karana. So his purpose is to enjoy bliss. Akila Rasamrita Murti. Krishna is described as being the personification of those who want to enjoy. Chaitanya Charitamrita says Krishna is Rasika Shekhar and Parama Karuna, which is the most merciful, and he's the supreme enjoyer. So he's known also as Rasa Raj. So Krishna is driven by the desire for enjoyment. That's the nature of God. God wants to enjoy. His purpose of existence is to enjoy and to give enjoyment to those he loves, his devotees. So the nature of the devotee being part and parcel of Krishna is that we have the same nature. Krishna is an enjoyer, we're also an enjoyer. But our enjoyment is meant to be secondary, or in other words, is meant to be supportive of Krishna's enjoyment. In other words, we have to see Krishna as the Vishaya, and we see ourselves as the Ashraya. Ashraya means we are the abode of love, and Krishna is the object of love. In the material world, we want to be the object of love, and we want others to be the Ashraya. But a pure soul sees himself as being a Ashraya. And he sees God as being the Vishaya. So instead of wanting to take the enjoyment from God, he wants to give the enjoyment to God. So that is our constitutional position. So we must learn eventually to develop that kind of consciousness. And we develop that consciousness, then we can enter back into the kingdom of God. So Krishna, he is descending as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to teach us the perfect example of how to be God's servant. So it is God in the form of servitor Godhead, taking on the position. He changes his position, being Vishaya, changes to being the Ashraya, or the abode of love. And that's why he appears to taste that which he does not taste in his form as Krishna. So therefore the experience of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is even superior to Krishna. It is considered to be the highest experience, or the highest embodiment of bliss. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching us the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And the essence of the Bhagavatam is to become the pure servant of God. That's why, as we said last night, the Chaitanya Charitamrita is like the commentary on the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is teaching us pure love of God, and then it is displayed by God himself, the same God who is spoken of in the 10th canto. He comes to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to display and to teach this love. And then we are meant to also absorb ourselves in that consciousness. So here it is saying that the living entity is searching after bliss, and God himself is the original personality who searches after bliss. He is always blissful, because he always absorbs himself in that. We are not always blissful, because we divert our attention. But Krishna does not divert his attention. He stays fixed on the Devi Prakriti, the internal energy, and he absorbs himself in taking pleasure from that plane. He never looks for pleasure in the material energy, whereas we look for pleasure in the material energy. So how to burn up that desire to enjoy in the material world? We have to perform tapasya. It's called tapo divyam. That's how you taste Brahma Sokyam, or spiritual happiness or bliss, on the platform of Shuddha Sattva. We have to perform divine austerity. Give up those things which we would ordinarily not like to give up for the pleasure of Krishna. And by doing that, then we transcend this material world once and for all. So it requires austerity. It requires a conscientious effort to come out of the material world. So, any points?
The rasa is higher than Krishna. We also know that in the spiritual creation there is also Navadvip.
we develop the desire to enter the Navadvip and Gurlok. That part was not covered. So why every time is not enter the Krishna's path and Leela. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Leela is higher than that. If we develop a desire, that I want to be part of the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Leela.
No, it's taught. It's taught. Yeah. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that if the living entity has a desire to become a servant of Radha Krishna and simultaneously a servant of Gaur Nitai, then he can take a form in both pastimes simultaneously. Just like Rupa Goswami is also Rupa Manjari, and Ramananda Roy is also Vishaka and all that. So if we desire that, then we can also enter those pastimes simultaneously. So it is possible. There's no limitation in the spiritual world.
So. You also said, Mahaprabhu is saying, Jaya Dekhi Tarekha Krishna. He's saying also that not only you have to take other people also with you. Teach them the lesson. Jaya Dekhi Tarekha Krishna.
Okay, so read the next paragraph. Sri Chaitanya Prabhu.
In this way, the conditioned soul undergoes a great struggle for existence in this material world, and therefore the Lord, out of compassion for him, appears in this world and instructs him. Thus the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 4.17, Yada yadai dharmasya vlana bhavati bhavata abhyutthanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyam. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in the religious principle practice, O descendants of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. The real dharma is to surrender unto Krishna, but the rebellious living entity, instead of surrendering to Krishna, engaging adharma in a struggle for existence to become like Krishna. Therefore, out of compassion, Krishna creates this material world to give the living entity a chance to understand his real position. Bhagavad Gita and similar Vedic literatures are presented so that the living entity may understand his relationship with Krishna. Vedeshya sarva raham vedyo vedyo. Bhagavad Gita 15:15. All these Vedic literatures are meant to enable the human beings to understand what he means, what his actual position is, and what his relationship is with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is called Brahma Jignasya. Every conditioned soul is struggling, but human life provides the best chance for him to understand his position. Therefore, this verse says, Anugraha Tan Nivrita, indicating that the false life of repeated birth and death must be stopped and the conditioned soul should be educated. This is the purpose of creation. The creation does not arise whimsically, as atheistic men think. Asatyam Apratishtam Te Jagat Ahur Anishwaram Aparas Para Sambhutam Kimanyat Kama Haitupam. They say that this world is unreal and that there is no foundation and that there is no God in control. It is produced of sex desire and has no cause other than lust. Bhagavad Gita 16.8. Atheistic rascals think that there is no God and that the creation has taken place by chance. Just as a man and woman meet by chance and the woman becomes pregnant and gives birth to a child. Actually, however, this is not a fact. The fact is that there is the purpose for this creation to give the conditioned soul a chance to return to his original consciousness, Krishna consciousness, and then return home back to Godhead and be completely happy in the spiritual world. In the material world, the conditioned soul is given a chance to satisfy his senses, but at the same time, he is informed by Vedic knowledge that this material world is not his actual place for happiness. Janet Ritu Jara Vyadi Dukkhat Doshan Darshanam. Bhagavad Gita 13.9. One must stop the repetition of birth and death. Every human being, therefore, should take advantage of this creation by understanding Krishna and his relationship with Krishna, and in this way return home back to Godhead.
So, what are the points here?
We have to stop the cycle of birth and death. That is the most important. By the knowledge which is given by Srila Prabhupada. If we don't stop, then we have to come back to him. So, knowledge should be perfect. Perfect is renunciation and surrender by taking Guru Arsha, Guru Padarsha, and serving the Guru, his pure bona fide religion, and then we can ascend easily out of this material.
Nice. Any other point?
Purpose of human form of life, Prabhupada mentioned, even though human is rebellious and comes in, rebelliousness comes to this middle world, but God is so merciful, but again, to take us back to God through the violence, wants to take the limit back to God. He creates an opportunity here. God is more merciful.
Good. Anything else?
Yeah, Prabhu said, in spite of rebellious nature, not to surrender, he is still coming again and again. But we are stubborn and obstinate and so attached to this material world by our possessions. We want to increase our possession more and more instead of getting in love with Krishna. Prema, Krishna Prema.
So we see that the living entity, when he comes in contact with the material energy, he develops a demoniac tendency. It's called Asura Bhav. Asura Bhav means to be rebellious against God. So when we become rebellious against God, we try to move away from him. Krishna Bahyu Mukh means we turn our back on Krishna. So in this material world, we are turning our back on Krishna. And now, by the process of sadhana bhakti, we're turning back around to face Krishna once again. So gradually, the living entity, he is trying to live separately from Krishna. But then, by good fortune, he comes in contact with the devotees. And by coming in contact with the devotees, by that good fortune, then he is given the opportunity to once again see Krishna. And then, by the practice of sadhana, one has to give up one's demoniac mentality. The money and mentality means to enjoy separate from God. So we have to learn to enjoy in the service of God, or giving God pleasure. That is the desire of a devotee. He just wants to give Krishna pleasure. And if he derives pleasure while giving Krishna pleasure, then he accepts that. But we don't independently try to please ourselves. We just try to serve Krishna. And by serving Krishna, automatically we become the most satisfied. In Chaitanya Charitamrita it says there's a competition between Krishna and the gopis. Because whenever Krishna reciprocates with the gopis, they become more beautiful, more happy, more ecstatic, and they serve Krishna more sweetly. And by serving Krishna more sweetly, they become more happy. Because they see he is becoming more satisfied. They see he is satisfied with their beauty, their service, their mood, their bhav of love towards him. And because he derives more pleasure, they derive more pleasure seeing him more happy, and the competition continuously expands. So the happiness of Krishna and the gopis and the living entities in the spiritual world is constantly expanding. Why? Because it's based on selfless love. So unless we develop that mood of selfless love, we can't enter back into the spiritual world. So there's the consciousness that we must take. So the whole practice of sadhana bhakti is to redevelop that consciousness. That we are Krishna's eternal servants and to serve him selflessly without desire for separate enjoyment. Any points?
Selfless and nimatsara.
Good. Okay. Although the demons who take possession of the government are dressed like men of government, they do not know the duty of the government. Consequently, by the arrangement of God, such demons who possess great military strength fight with one another, and thus the great burden of demons on the surface of the earth is reduced. The demons increase their military power by the will of the Supreme, so that their numbers will be diminished, and the devotees will have a chance to advance in Krishna consciousness. So, Janeshwar.
As in the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada, Hipari Pranayam, Sahajanam, Vinaya, Sucha, Dushtutam, the sadhus, devotees of the Lord, are always eager to advance the cause of Krishna consciousness, so that the conditioned souls may be released from the bondage of birth and death. But Asuras, demons, impede the advancement of Krishna consciousness movement. and therefore Krishna arranges occasional fights between different asuras who are very much interested in increasing their military power. The duty of the government or the king is not to increase military power unnecessarily. The real duty of the government is to see that the people of the state advance in Krishna consciousness. For this purpose, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, according to the three modes of material nature and the work ascribed to them, the four divisions of human society were created by me. There should be an ideal class of men who are bona fide brahmanas, and they should be given all protection. Namo brahmane devaya, go brahmane dacha. Krishna is very fond of brahmanas and cows. The brahmanas promulgate the cause of advancement in Krishna consciousness, and the cows give enough milk to maintain the body in the mode of goodness. The kshatriyas and the government should be advised by the brahmana. Next, the vaishyas should produce enough foodstuffs, and the shudras, who cannot do anything beneficial on their own, to serve the three higher classes, the brahmana, kshatriyas and vaishyas. This is the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so that the conditioned soul will be released from the material condition and return back to Godhead. This is the purpose of Krishna's descent on the surface of the earth. Paritrana Sarvanam, Vinashin Shadushkutam.
What are the points there?
The Lord's creation of material world is also systematically set up the system. But as the day progresses, it is all polluted. So, there's an opportunity for everyone to serve Brahmanas,
Kshatriyas,
Vaishyas,
good.
We need good Brahmanas in the society to give advice, and thus the society also improves. And in the return, Kshatriyas or the government should protect the Brahmanas, as Prabhupada used to say, that government should fund ISKCON and should maintain ISKCON, whether it's always the other way around now. But we are looking at other needy people here and there. So Brahmanas are quite important and vital part of the society. So yeah, we need to have that intelligent class in our society.
Anything else?
But generally Prabhupada also always says that there are no Brahmanas, no Vaishyas, there are no Kshatriyas. There are some Vaishyas and many Shudras. So, what frequently mentioned
in the modern society? Mm-hmm. Yeah, modern society is Kalo Sudra Sambhava. So it means that most people are not even Shudra. Shudra means at least within the Varnashram system. And there's some rules and regulations. These days there's not even rules and regulations in human behavior or society. Just like in the sutras, they were taught to follow the four regulative principles. Whether or not they could follow everything perfectly, but at least they were taught like that. But these days, people are not even taught the basics to follow at least the four principles. They break all the principles like that. So, everyone is born less than sutra. But then, by initiation, then people can rise up. But Prabhupada, he makes the comments that most of society is like shudra. Shudra means most people are just like workers. And then some of them organize the others to drive the economy. So that is the Vaishya class. So they get everyone together. They say, okay, we're starting a company. And then they make money. And that's basically where society stops. And it's not really Kshatriya. Kshatriya says, okay, you guys are making the money, but now I'm going to tax the money, right? Because I'm more powerful. And I'm going to organize things so that everyone gets a fair share. And the people live by Dharma, and that the Brahmanas are supported. So the Kshatriyas control everything, but the Kshatriya element is not really there in society. So Prabhupada says it's mainly Vaishyas and Sudra. Real Kshatriya is not there, because the guys who are running the government, they don't like Kshatriya. Because Kshatriya is pious. Dharma, he follows Dharma. Whereas the guys these days, they're like, you know, in America, what's his name? Donald Trump. So Donald Trump is Vaishya. So then he's trying to run the government now. So the whole policy is let's make more money, more money, more money, then we'll be happy. But the Kshatriya doesn't say like that. Kshatriya doesn't say make more money, you'll be happy. Kshatriya says respect God and the Brahmanas, and then you'll be happy. When you worship Brahmanas, cows, and God, then you become happy and peaceful. That's Kshatriya. But these days they just focus on economic development. So Prabhupada is describing that we need to follow our conditioned nature. Each one of us has a conditioned nature. We tend to be like Vaishya, or we tend to be like Shudra, or we tend to be like Kshatriya, or we tend to be like Brahmana. We're not really any of those, but we have a tendency to act in a particular way. So we need to act in our own way, which means whichever way we're best at serving, then we should serve Krishna in that particular way. So Prabhupada would encourage his followers, his disciples, find what you're good at doing and find what you enjoy doing and then do that for Krishna. Yeah? And Prabhupada would do that. Whenever someone would come to there and someone's an artist, then he would engage them and he'd say, now paint for Krishna. And then he'd say, someone's good at management, you manage for Krishna. Someone's good at preaching, then you preach for Krishna. Someone's good at farming, then Prabhupada would send them to the farm, farm for Krishna. Just like Sadaputta Prabhu, he was a great scientist in our movement. He passed away. So Sadaputta Prabhu, when he joined the temple, he was digging holes because they were building some building. So they were digging holes. Then after some days, someone said, what do you do? He said, well, actually, I've studied science. So he's a very qualified person. So then someone told someone else, and they said, what's he doing that? Get him to go to the Bhaktivedanta Institute and then start to work on scientific research and write books. So he was instructed by Prabhupada to do that. So according to our nature, what we're good at, then we should do those things for Krishna. And that's how we become perfect. By using our conditioned nature, we can attain our liberated nature. So we do whatever we do for Krishna, and it purifies our consciousness, we feel peaceful and satisfied, and then we transcend and we enter into Krishna's service.
What is the name of the devotee? Which country?
Sadaputta. Sadaputta.
From which country?
He was American. He passed away. Yeah. Richard L. Thompson. He's a famous scientist. We showed, when we did the end of Canto 5, we showed the
presentation.
Yeah. He wrote different books. Forbidden Archaeology. Actually, that was Drew DeKalma book. What was it called? Mechanistic and non-mechanistic science. And there were some other books there too. So. Okay. So we'll read the next Mahatma Prabhu. You can read the next paragraph.
Everyone must understand Krishna's activities. Jan kam chame divyam. If one understands the purpose of Krishna's coming to this earth and performing his activities, one is immediately liberated. This liberation is the purpose of the creation of Krishna's descent upon the surface of the earth. Demons are very much interested in advancing a plan of which people will labor hard like cats and dogs and hogs. But Krishna, the devotees want to teach Krishna consciousness so that people will be satisfied with plain living and Krishna conscious advancement. Although demons have created many plans for industry and hard labor so that people will work day and night like animals, this is not the purpose of civilization. Such endeavors are jagato ahita. That is, they are meant for misfortune of the people in general. Shaya, such activities lead to annihilation. One who understands the purpose of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, should seriously understand the importance of Krishna consciousness movement and seriously take part in it. One should not endeavor for ugri karma or unnecessary work for sense gratification. Nunam tamatta purte vikarma yaritya pitya apnoti. 5.5.4 Simply for sense gratification, people make plans for material happiness. Maya sukhaya bharam udvato vimudha Bhagavatam 7.9.43. They do this because they are all vimudas, rascals. For flickering happiness, people are waste their human energy, not understanding the importance of Krishna consciousness movement. But instead accusing the simple devotees of brainwashing. Demons may falsely accuse the teachers of Krishna consciousness movement. But Krishna will arrange a fight between demons in which all their military power will be engaged and both parties of demons will be annihilated.
So what are the points there?
One of the verses is mentioned by Rishabdha, or there's another verse, first one, by Rishabdha mentions Nayamdevadeva Vedamna Loka Kashtankama Aradhevi Vijayam Prapadhu Gakaina Satyam Sutre Dashma Brahma Sopantama Muka. So when Rishabdha is mentioning one should not waste, especially one who has got a human form of life, should not work hard for the pleasures which is available to dogs and hawks. One should engage in the body in a transcendental austerity, which will give
And Pada Melad is saying the same thing, 7.9.43, Maya Sukhaya Bharam Udvato Vimula. Human people are wasting their energy instead of developing Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, so this is the basic message of the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam's message is that we're not meant to live separate from God. And what is the consciousness when one lives separate from God? It becomes animalistic. The more one is separate from God, the more animalistic one becomes. And if you misuse the human form of life, then Krishna puts you into other forms of life which are even more degraded. Where you can do all the same activities, but you can do them in a more perfect way. Animals have more ability for certain activities, eating, sleeping, mating, defending. So you'll be given that facility. So if that is your desire, and Krishna will facilitate your desire. He'll give you the ability to live separately from Him. So, if we want to surrender to Krishna, He will facilitate us to go back to Him. He will make the arrangements. And if He sees the sincere desire in our heart, then Krishna arranges that we can come back to Him. And then He orders Maya to release us, or to stop making our lives very difficult. When we are insincere, then Maya will cover us, she will test us. But when Krishna sees we're very sincere, then he will order Maya to reduce her influence on us, and then we can gradually come closer to him. So that is the consciousness which we're aspiring for, to come back to Krishna. So, any points?
Obviously, I want to start this purport with 4.8. That is, Paritrana Sadhana Vinashaya Kudushkutam. So, devotees are really interested to advance Krishna consciousness so that people can get out of this sati or death and meaning.
Yeah, that's good. Anything else? Okay. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, with the cooperation of Sankarshan, Balaram, performed activities beyond the mental comprehension of such personality as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. For instance, Krishna arranged the battle of Kurukshetra to kill many demons for the relief of the entire world. To show causeless mercy to the devotees who would take birth in the future in this age of Kali, the Supreme Personality of Godhead acted in such a way that simply by remembering him, one will be freed from all the lamentation and unhappiness of material existence. In other words, he acted so that all future devotees, by accepting the instructions of Krishna consciousness, stated in Bhagavad Gita, could be relieved from the pangs of material existence. So, Lila Maya Radhika, you'd like to read them.
The Lord's activities of saving the devotees and killing the demons, Paritranaya Sadhuna Vinashaya Dushkritam, take place side by side. Krishna actually appears for the deliverance of the sadhus or bhaktas, but by killing the demons, he shows them mercy also. For anyone killed by Krishna is liberated. Whether the Lord kills or gives protection, he is kind to both the demons and the devotees.
Any points?
The Lord Krishna intercedes both demons as well as devotees.
We also saw, we will be seeing all the suras who came to kill it is his mercy, causes mercy, that he is liberating all those demons, even with, and they come with a wrong intention.
I didn't follow.
When Krishna kills the demons, it is for the benefit of the demon. So Krishna is, he is all good. Yeah, Prabhupada says afrophalactic, I think that's the word used in the Sri Upanishad. Means that the sun.
What is the word for it?
I think it's afrophalactic or
prophylactic.
Prophylactic, is it? So in the Upanishad, it mentions the sun, when it touches even on an impure place, it purifies that place. So Krishna is so potent, he's unlimitedly potent. So when he touches even an impure person, they become purified. They become shuddha. Shuddha means pure. Yeah. So therefore, Krishna has that unlimited ability. So even when the demons are killed, the demons are not sent to a lesser situation. They're liberated. He liberates them from all of their material bondage. He may give them impersonal Brahman liberation if they're envious of him. And then due course of time, they go back to the material world and they can start again and try to approach him once again. So when Krishna does anything, it is for the benefit of everyone. So if someone's a demon, Krishna will benefit them. And if someone is a good person, Krishna will benefit them also. Krishna is not envious, that's the point. Yeah, he's impartial. Or he's well-intended towards everyone. It's like, if someone is envious towards us, we don't like that person. We think, oh, he doesn't like me, so I don't like him. It makes us feel uncomfortable. But Krishna is so great, such a perfect personality, that even when someone does not like him, he does not hold any grudge. And he actually tries to benefit that person. And he gives them the ultimate benefit and liberation.
Not only that, you follow the super soul. In any form you go, 8.4 million, he never leaves us.
Yeah, good point. Anything else? Okay. Simply by receiving the glories of the Lord through purified transcendental ears, the devotees of the Lord are immediately freed from strong material desires and engagement in fruitive activities. Jagan Prabhu?
When the devotees or orally receive the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as enacted in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, they immediately achieve a transcendental vision in which they are no longer interested in materialistic activities. Thus, they achieve freedom from the material world. For sense gratification, practically everyone is engaged in materialistic activities which prolong the process of janma, mrityu, jara, vyadhi, birth, death, old age and disease. But the devotee, simply by hearing the message of Bhagavad Gita and further relishing the narrations of Srimad Bhagavatam, becomes so pure that he no longer takes interest in materialistic activities. At the moment, devotees in the Western countries are being attracted by Krishna consciousness and becoming uninterested in materialistic activities. And therefore, people are trying to oppose this movement. But they cannot possibly check this movement or stop the activities of the devotees in Europe and America by their artificial impositions. Here the words Srotanjalir Upasprishyaha indicate that simply by hearing the transcendental activities, the transcendental activities of the Lord, the devotees become so pure that they are immediately immune to the contamination of materialistic fruitive activities. Anyabhilashita shunyam. Materialistic activities are unnecessary for the soul, and therefore the devotees are freed from such activities. The devotees are situated in liberation. Brahma bhutya kalpate. And therefore they cannot be called back to their material homes and materialistic activities.
Any points?
The hearing is so important that it purifies their consciousness. and therefore devotees keep on advancing further and further. All the contemplation of the heart, and especially chanting the holy name, is the best.
Srimatamsa Sata Krishna Purneshwara Nama Udhya Anubhav Nami Sudhya.
Prabhupada mentions the word Anya Vilashita, which is the definition of the pure devotional service. He's mentioning in a pure devotional sorrow. That's one of the first steps when you have to come to a platform of Anya Vilashita, Sunyam. It should be Sunyam, basically. So the hearing process will lead us to that path, or to will lead to that point, basically, kind of point, or state.
Anything else?
They want to teach, they want to check the woman because they still envious. Prabhupada saying that the woman, this holy name is so powerful that it can even pierce through them. And that is the purpose of the Lord, to purify them. As mentioned, it is already predicted. So this was put in 1970s, so you may imagine now how it is. That time it was almost next to impossible that it will spread all over the world.
Yeah, Prabhupada said nothing can stop our movement externally, only internally can be stopped. And we see that's a fact, that internally when devotees quarrel, then things become disrupted. But when externally, when everyone unites, then externally we overcome any obstacle which is put before us by the mercy of Lord Nisringadev. So that is the position of the devotees. Just by serving Krishna, everything becomes fully auspicious. So, Prabhupada mentions here that we do not have to worry about the external forces. We simply continue. Prabhupada said that when the caravan passes, the dogs will bark. So he said, don't lose enthusiasm, don't lose your determination. Just keep spreading Krishna consciousness and the dogs will bark. And we will just continue in our preaching endeavor. And the movement will spread and increase. Any points?
Holy name is so pure that the sins we can't even do. If we holy name chant once purely, we cannot do enough sins. One holy name is so pure.
Yeah, it can destroy more sins than you can perform in countless lifetimes. Yeah, that's true. Okay. Assisted by the descendants of Bhoja, Rishni, Andaka, Matu, Shurasen, Dasharha, Kuru, Srinjaya, and Pandu, Lord Krishna performed various activities. By his pleasing smiles, his affectionate behavior, his instructions, and his uncommon pastimes like raising Govardhan Hill, the Lord appearing in his transcendental body pleased all of human society. So, Sri Chaitanya Prabhu.
The words Nalokam Ramayan Asa Nritya Sarvanga Ramyaya are significant. Krishna is the original form, Bhagwan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is therefore described here by the word Murtiya. The word Murti means form. Krishna or God is never impersonal. The impersonal feature is but a manifestation of his transcendental body. Yashya Prabha Prabhavato Jagadanda Kodi. The Lord is Narakriti, exactly resembling the form of a human being, but his form is different from ours. Therefore, the word Sarvanga Ramayaya informs us that every part of his body is pleasing for everyone to see. Apart from his smiling face, every part of his body, his hands, his legs, his chest, is pleasing to the devotees, who cannot at any time stop seeing the beautiful form of the Lord.
So what are the points?
This reminds me the Madhura Ashtakam, where it is said that everything is Madhuram, is sweetness. His words or his lips or all his words, body. So it is, here also it is said that it's all Ramyam. Ramyam is very pleasing. He himself is pleasing, very good. So Krishna by himself is pleasing at any point in time by his form or by his words, as hearing his instructions of Bhagavad Gita, whatever. It's always pleasing for us.
Any other points?
Prabhupada is emphasizing again that Lord is never impersonal. His form is like ours, Narakriti, but it's quite different from us. It's only 200 forms at the same level. But it's everything, face, as he said, Nadarapate, Aniramadam. Everything is walk, his talk, his walking, his movement, everything. Most auspicious and wonderful. So how can he be impersonal? Impersonal form is only his Brahmajyoti. So it's foolish to be entered, going to the impersonal form.
Anything else?
Prabhupada was only cautioning us, like if you are attached to your material life, do not go to the banks of Yamuna and do not go to the Keshika and see the form of Shams and the, otherwise your material life will be destroyed.
Mm. Yeah, we need to get there. Because we're still attached to our material life. We haven't been to Keshika properly yet. We go there, but we're not in the right consciousness while we're there. Any other point? So, we see here that he performed uncommon pastimes. So he does all these things for the pleasure of his devotees. He comes with the demigods, he comes with these devotees, and he comes to attract the living entities back to him. Only he can do that. The other forms of God are not as attractive as Krishna. We'll see, as we study the 10th canto in the next couple of years, then Krishna's pastimes are so attractive, particularly his Rasa Lila, which goes to like his topmost pastime in Vrindavan, that even his other forms, his incarnations, Ramachandra, Nisringadeva, Rahama, when he performs that lila, they all come to watch the lila. That's how attractive Krishna is. He's so attractive, even his other forms are attracted to him. So his pastimes are unlimitedly sweet. So it's saying here that he comes to attract the living entities back to him. And in Kali Yuga, Mother Jagatrini said this a few years ago at one of the Govardhan retreats. Actually, the only way that we can be attracted away from the material energy is by hearing about the conjugal pastimes of Krishna and Vrindavan. And that's why we just studied the Bhagavad Gita for the last 10 years, because this is meant to have qualified us so that when we do hear these pastimes, and hopefully in the next few years, then we will have enough adhikar that it will purify our hearts and will attract us away from the material world. But it's only Krishna's conjugal pastimes which will eventually attract us totally away from the material world. At this point in time, we're not qualified to fully absorb ourselves in those pastimes, and therefore we're not able to fully give up our attachments. The only way to give up your attachments, you can't give up your attachments just by false renunciation, or even by proper renunciation. The only way you can give up your material attachments is by completely replacing it with the superior taste, which is Krishna's pastimes. So that is the whole point of studying the Bhagavad Gita, to become attracted to Krishna's rasa-filled pastimes, which are attractive even to liberated personalities. Any points?
As you said, param drishtva nivartati.
That is the philosophy of the Gita. Okay. When Krishna's face is decorated with ornaments, such as earrings resembling sharks, his ears are beautiful, his cheeks brilliant, and his smiling attractive to everyone. Whoever sees Lord Krishna sees a festival. His face and body are fully satisfying for everyone to see, but the devotees are angry at the Creator for the disturbance caused by the momentary blinking of their eyes. So, Janesh wrote,
as said by the Lord himself in Bhagavad Gita, Vrindavanam Prachimam Vedita Krita. Out of many thousands of men, one may endeavor for perfection, and of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. Unless one is qualified to understand Krishna, one cannot appreciate the presence of Krishna and another. Among the Gojas, Vrishnis, Andhakas, Pandavas, and many other kings intimately related with Krishna, the intimate relationship between Krishna and the environment of Vrindavana is especially denoted. The relationship is described in this verse by the words Nityotsavamna Tatrapur Rishibi Pivantya. The inhabitants of Vrindavana, especially such as the cowherd boys, the cows, the calves, and gopis, the gopis, and Krishna's father and mother, were never fully satisfied, although they saw Krishna's beautiful features constantly. Seeing Krishna is described here as Nitya Utsava, a daily festival. The inhabitants of Vrindavana saw Krishna almost every moment, but when Krishna left the village for the pasturing grounds, where he tended the cows and calves, the gopis were very much afflicted by the because they saw Krishna walking on the sand and thought to Krishna's lotus feet, which they dared not to place on their breast because they thought their breasts are not too soft enough. But they were being pierced by broken chips of stones. But even thinking of this, the gopis were affected and they cried at home. The gopis, who were therefore the exalted friends of Krishna, saw Krishna constantly, but because their eyelids disturbed their vision of Krishna, the gopis condemned the creator of Brahma. Therefore, the beauty of Krishna, especially the creator, the beauty of his face, is described here. At the end of the 9th canto, in 24th chapter, we find a hint of Krishna's beauty. Now we are proceeding to the 10th canto, which is considered Krishna's head. The entire Srimad-Bhagavata Purana is the embodiment of Krishna's form, and the 10th canto is his face. This verse is given a hint of how beautiful Krishna's face is. Krishna's smiling face and his cheeks, his lips and the ornaments in his ears, his chewing of betel nuts. All this was minutely observed by the gopis, who thus enjoyed transcendental bliss so much so that they were never fully satisfied to see Krishna's face, but instead condemned the creator of the body for making eyelids that obstructed their vision. The beauty of Krishna's face was therefore much more appreciated by the gopis than by his friends, the cowherd boys, or even by Yashoda Mata, who was also interested in decorating Krishna's the face of Krishna. Mm.
Any points?
This is like showing a pile of the real movie. This giving the description of what Krishna, so it's just small clips. You see this verse especially, it's similar to the Rāhula-aṣṭakam. Satyavakini says, Mūṣṭhumitam jīva pratyankaram. Similar descriptions of it.
Mm. Krishna's beautiful feature, Nityotsav, daily festival.
Anything else?
And they are blaming Lord Brahma for making the eyelids of it. Mm. They are interrupting the view of Lord Krishna's voice. Mm.
Yeah, so we're seeing here the perfection of the Bhagavatam. Mm. The 10th canto is the smiling face of Krishna. So this is the highest pastimes. The highest pastimes of Krishna is the Vrindavan pastimes. And particularly chapters 29 to 33 are considered to be the smile of Krishna, because that is the Rasa Lila, his pastimes with the gopis. So these are considered to be the topmost pastimes in all of creation. So we're hearing here that
the perfection of the Bhagavatam, it's actually to see Krishna's form. Prabhupada said the whole point of the Krishna consciousness movement is that you will see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, face to face. So that is the goal. And then you can take him by the hand and you can lead him like Mother Yashoda. So that is the what we are aiming for in our Krishna consciousness. So here it has been described the beautiful form of the Lord, which captivates the devotees and which the devotees are always absorbed in their consciousness. So we're hearing now what the perfection is, how to attain the perfection. And if we study the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, then we can fully absorb ourselves in thoughts of Krishna. Any points? Okay. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, known as Lila Purushottama, appeared as the son of Vasudeva, but immediately left his father's home and went to Vrindavan to expand his loving relationship with his confidential devotees. In Vrindavan, the Lord killed many demons, and afterwards he returned to Dwarka, where according to Vedic principles, he married many wives who were the best of women. He got through them hundreds of sons and performed sacrifices for his own worship to establish the principles of household or life. So, Mahatma Prabhu.
As stated in Bhagavad Gita 15.15, Vedesha Sarve Aham E Vedya. By all the Vedas, it is Krishna who is to be known. Lord Sri Krishna is setting an example by his own behavior, performed many ritualistic ceremonies described in the Veda, and established the principles of Grihastha life by marrying many wives and begetting many children, just to show people in general how to be happy by living according to Vedic principles. The center of Vedic sacrifice is Krishna. Vedesha Sarve Aham Eva Vedya. To advance in human life, human society must follow the Vedic principles personally demonstrated by Lord Krishna in his household life. The real purpose of Krishna's appearance, however, was to manifest how one can take part in loving affairs with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The reciprocations of loving affairs and ecstasy are possible only in Vrindavan. Therefore, just after his appearance as the son of Vasudeva, the Lord immediately left for Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, the Lord not only took part in loving affairs with his father and mother, the gopi and the cowherd boy, but also gave liberation to many demons by killing them, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 4.8. Paritrana Shadunam Vinashaya Tadishkutam. The Lord appears in order to protect the devotees and kill the demons. This was fully exhibited by his personal behavior. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord is understood by Arjuna to be Purusham Shashvatam Divyam, the eternal transcendental supreme person. Here also we find the words Utpadya Yeshu Purusha. Therefore it is to be concluded that the absolute truth is Purusha, a person. The impersonal feature is but one of the features of his personality. Ultimately, he is a person, he is not impersonal. And not only is he Purusha, a person, but he is Lila Purushottam, best of all the persons.
So the Bhagavatam is giving a brief description of Krishna's pastimes, which will be described and elaborated upon in the 10th canto, from Vrindavan to Mathura to Dwarka. So these are all the pastimes that will go. So, devotees are meant to study these pastimes, absorb themselves in these pastimes. This is the perfection of human life, just to meditate on Krishna's pastimes. Lila Smaranam. And Prabhupada says, when we chant the Hare Krishna mantra, he said we should just hear the mantra. But then he further says, there are other comments, because devotees always say that, we should just hear. But Prabhupada said other things also. He also said that when you become advanced and adept or more expert in your chanting, he said that automatically Krishna's leelas will come into your mind while you're chanting and you'll meditate on those leelas. That is called leela smarana. It's called swarasiki meditation, where you're meditating on Krishna's pastimes and they just continue like one after another and you meditate on them. That is the stage of perfection in chanting. So in Kartik Mas, which is coming up soon, then we should The most important thing is just to improve the quality of your chanting. That's really what Kartik is for. Chant extra rounds, that is nice. But at least if you can just improve the quality of the chanting. That's the main thing I aim for in the month. Just to improve my bhakti. Improve my devotion to Krishna. Try to become a better devotee, a more selfless devotee. Absorb myself more in Krishna. Improve my chanting. And if you can do more, then that's beneficial. But the main thing is to do the quality, to improve the quality of this devotion. Okay, one more verse. Thereafter, Lord Krishna created a misunderstanding between family members just to diminish the burden of the world. Simply by his glance, he annihilated all the demoniac kings on the battlefield of Kurukshetra and declared victory for Arjuna. Finally, he instructed Uddhava about transcendental life and devotion and then returned to his abode in his original form. So, Lila Mai, you like to read that?
Paritranaya Sadhana Vinashaya Dushana. The mission of Lord was performed on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, for by the Lord's mercy Arjuna was victorious due to being a great devotee, whereas others were killed simply by the Lord's glance, which cleansed them of their all sinful activities and enabled them to attain Sarupya. Finally, Lord Krishna instructed Uddhava about the transcendental life of devotional service, and then in due course of time, he returned to his abode. The Lord's instructions in the form of Bhagavad Gita are full of jnana and vairagya, knowledge and renunciation. In the human form of life, one must learn these two things: how to become detached from the material world and how to acquire full knowledge in spiritual life. This is the Lord's mission. Paritranaya Sadhuna Vinashaya Cha Dushkrita. After executing his complete mission, the Lord returned to his home, Goloka Vrindavan.
So Krishna comes to attract us to him. That is the point of his pastimes. He is all attractive and he simply performs his pastimes, so we become attracted and we'll go back home, back to God. Srila Prabhupada ki?
Yeah.